to Creature Culture, a podcast about the monsters, spooks, and nasty guys that inhabit your favorite fantasy settings. We're your hosts. Hi, I'm Noel, and I'd like to tell you that a certain blue-themed army can kiss my signards.
Hi, I'm Colin, and when Carl told me he wanted us to talk about a setting that was mostly humans, I thought he was trollkin.
And hi, I'm Carl, and my point cost just went up from 3 to 4, meaning I'll never see the table again.
And today we're talking about the Iron Kingdoms.
You don't have to burn page 5 just to warm your hordes.
But first, some news and updates.
I think we need a qualifier after that. We're talking about Iron Kingdoms this week.
Yes.
Iron Kingdoms is the official setting for a pair of war games, War Machine and Hordes.
Colloquially known as Warmahordes.
Yeah, and the setting is also the title of the pen and paper tabletop RPG that uses the same setting.
Yeah.
Right.
They're called Iron Kingdoms and Iron Kingdoms Unleashed, respectively.
Yeah. How's everybody doing? Anything new?
Not really.
I'm still very sorry about last week.
I have yet to listen to it, and it's probably going to stay that way.
I think it's a good episode.
You would.
I'm excited to catch up and listen to it.
I spend a lot of time talking about why Drow are bad, if that helps any.
That helps. Yeah, I was going to say that helps more than you know, but you probably know.
we're just cruising along.
Yeah.
Figured that we'd do a regular episode after the weird half episode last time.
Yep.
I shouldn't call it a half episode. It was like an hour and a half long.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, it was like hour and 20 minutes.
Huh.
Yeah.
You pulled that one through. Nice.
I do not know how. but yeah, I guess now we're gonna talk about some robots and
big beasties.
Yeah, we've talked about Trollblooded before on the show.
Yes, we have. And
mentioned Ogryn in one episode as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think you got pretty much entirely wrong, but that's okay.
Well,
we might have been talking about the War Machine Ogryn? Or not War Machine, Durr. Wow. Warhammer Ogryn?
Yeah, we were probably talking about Warhammer Ogryn.
Because they're the ones with, like, their skulls all metally and they're dumb as shit. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're a unit in Warhammer 40K.
Oh.
So we,
no, not confusing at all. One ever gets these two games confused.
Yeah,
ever. Never. I didn't literally just do it.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know the difference between two fantasy tabletop skirmish to large-scale battle miniature games.
That begin with the word war.
And have M's in them.
So, I don't think I've said it yet, but this is our special guest. I'm pointing to him right now, Carl.
Hello, I'm Carl. I go by Judge Grumble on Twitter. Yeah.
You can plug yourself at the end.
Okay, cool. I'll plug myself at the end. But yeah, so hello, I'm Carl. I am here to convince these two that Iron Kingdoms is a cool setting, which is a very tall order. And hopefully I can convince you guys it's a cool setting as well, because it's a cool setting and it's a cool game.
I'm willing to give it a listen.
Yeah.
So ignore the fact that I actually play the game.
At least half of it. A third of it?
Like half of an it. Eighth
does,
of it?
Does,
I play one army.
Does War Machine Tactics count? Does
no. that make it a fourth? War Machine Tactics doesn't count. I want to change my pun. War Machine Tactics doesn't count. But yeah, so.
What is Iron Kingdoms?
Oh, okay. Iron Kingdoms is a setting in which it's described as a steam-powered setting, which a lot of people could say is steampunk, but I like to say that Iron Kingdoms is steampunk for people that hate steampunk. Because there's very few, like, superfluous gears. There's a lot of smokestacks, but that's because things are powered by coal.
There's a lot of smokestacks and, like, electrode tubes.
And there's a lot of Telsa coils, but there's very few gears.
Furnaces.
There's very few people walking around in, like, Victorian era gear wearing with gears on their hats.
It's not Malifaux.
Yeah, it's not Malifaux.
which
is a shame because I also love Malifaux.
I was about to say, which I respect and am disappointed by because, again, I like Malifaux for its own reasons.
Mm-hmm. But no, it's sort of steampunk for people that don't like steampunk.
Right.
And really the only time you ever even see a gear is on the Clockwork People, in which it would be weird if there were no gears.
Certainly. Yeah. I think I've heard the phrase lantern punk bandied about at some point.
Oh, lantern punk.
I've never gaslight punk is another thing that occasionally gets used to kind of, because like War Machine is dark and gritty, so like you have to get more of the, I guess, like Jack the Ripper murderer Victorian era stuff crammed in there.
Yep.
Okay, I've actually never heard that before. That's cool.
There is a lot of goggles.
There are goggles. There are tons
Everything
of goggles.
Has goggles.
Everyone has goggles.
So it still has the good like late 2012 anime con raver aesthetic going on,
which I can appreciate.
Mm-hmm. But I will say that the setting originally got its start off as a 3.5 setting. It was a modded.
Actually, so War Machine was originally published in 2003. It won an Origin Award that year at Gen Con. Mm-hmm. The Iron Kings D20 supplement was released in 2004. I did actually do some research for this episode.
Cool. Okay.
I mean, basically the D20 like thing was basically released as just kind of like, we have this information. We don't know if the miniatures game is going to take off or not. The miniatures game did in fact take off. Mm-hmm. Hordes got launched in 2006, I believe.
That's correct. 2006.
And Iron Kingdoms as a role playing game setting was pretty much completely untouched until 2013, where basically Privateer Press had made enough money that they could hire more people to do things besides make miniature sculpts all the time.
Exactly.
Which honestly, as far as, you know, small startup things go, is a pretty good way to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much like, who are the people that make Pathfinder?
Paizo.
Yeah, it's pretty much kind of like a Paizo story. Where they basically, you know, they got in at not necessarily the most lucrative time to be a part of the tabletop gaming scene, but at a decent inflow-outflow point, put in a lot of work, stuck to one thing and made it good, and now have a pretty decent-sized, like, company empire now where they can leverage stuff that isn't just the one thing they started with.
Yeah.
And I respect that.
Yeah.
I do. They did pretty good for themselves.
Most importantly, both of them can have failed video game Kickstarters now.
Yeah. Yeah. Tactics, the miniatures from Tactics that they released with it were great, but the game itself was not good at all. It was pretty bad.
I had people trying to convince me to get into it. I
would not bother.
I had the foresight, at least.
I will.
Production values were low.
I will buy into a Kickstarter game. I will buy into a Steam Greenlight game or early access game. I will not buy into a Kickstarted early access game.
That's just layering too many bad possibilities on top of each other.
But yeah, getting into the good stuff.
Yeah, but let's do that. Tell us about these Iron Kingdoms, because as far as I'm aware, it's pretty much 90% humans.
It is. The civilized world has a very, very strong favor towards humans. However, though, there is also the uncivilized world, which is roamed by giant horrible monsters and is overall very much an unfriendly place to live. And humans don't really mess with the uncivilized world a lot. And out there, you get all kinds of different stuff. Most notably the Trollkin. But there's also just a bunch of other stuff that lives out there that I'm going to kind of go through.
Yes, please do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I will do so. First off, though, I really kind of want to get started with talking about the gods of the setting.
Okay.
Because pretty much all the races take their lineage from one of three gods.
Interesting.
The first of which, the gods, is actually where really the divide between people comes in, because the humans say that Menoth, the creator, came out of the chaos, and Menoth is a big scary dude, and he's made of fire, and he's got a crazy iron mask. And the humans say that Menoth came first, but pretty much all the species of the wild say that Dunia came first. And Dunia is the planet, she is the Earth Mother. She is the provider. She's pretty much everything that is happy and good with nature. She's fruit in the trees. She's good soil. She's a very benevolent god. And the third god that came along, which is the Devourer Worm. And the Devourer Worm is very much an evil chaos god. He's just a giant, horrible clump of maws and teeth and claws and all those other horrible things.
Loving it.
And he comes down and he attacks Dunia and he starts eating Dunia. And Dunia then says, ow, I need help. Menoth, come save me. And so Menoth and the Devourer Worm start to fight. And from there, there's two sort of things that happen from this. The first is that where the Devourer Worm bit Dunia, their essences kind of get mixed. And the various Dunian races come from. And these are races like the Trollkin. These are races like the Pharaoh, the Gatorman, a couple other different ones, Ogryn, Gobbers, all this other stuff.
Is that where the pigmen come from?
Yes, the pigmen are the Pharaoh. We're going to talk about them more later because I think you're going to like pigmen. I love pigmen. I'm super biased towards them, I'll be honest.
A good old-fashioned pigman.
They're pigmen. They're super cool. But anyway, we'll talk about them a little bit later because basically all these races have one thing in common, which is that certain members of their species take more after the Devourer Worm. And certain members of the species take more after Dunia. And the ones that take more after Dunia are more human-like. They're more intelligent. They're more civilized. And then there's the members of the species that are take more after the worm. And they're more primal. They're bigger. They're meaner. But they're still kind of the same species. They're connected.
Right.
In a lot of ways. And the second thing that happened is when the Devourer Worm and Menoth fought, wherever Menoth stepped on the earth and got into a big clash with the Devourer Worm, humans came up. And that's where humans come from. So humans pretty much owe their existence to Menoth, and everything else owes their existence to Dunia and the Devourer Worm.
So humans are like mushrooms.
Yes, exactly. Humans were like mushrooms.
Yeah, all right. No layers, and they pop up where you don't want them.
Yep, pretty much. So Dunia, or Menoth and the Devourer Worm, they fight and they tear open a portal in reality, and they go to the afterlife, which is called Ur-Kane. The basic plane is called Kane. And so they are currently still fighting. They fight in Ur-Kane for eternity, pretty much. No one really wins that fight. It's just kind of this eternal battle.
Really name their hell dimension Kane?
It's Ur-Kane. Ur-Kane is the hell dimension. Kane is the plane.
Oh, okay.
So, it's so living there is hell.
Yeah.
And under hell is just worse.
I don't think hurricanes are that bad.
Yeah, it could be. Well,
I mean, it's spelled C-A-E-N, so Cain, so not quite C-A-I-N-E.
Oh, man.
It's Cain or Cain.
That's, God, I hate fantasy so much. I love fantasy, but I hate fantasy. Oh,
yeah.
It only gets worse from here.
I was going to say, it does only get worse from here, because we are briefly going to talk about the elves in this setting, and the elves
in
this
setting... Well, golly gee!
I will say...
Very briefly, I want to keep them out as much as possible, because their names are literally jam-packed of Y with Ys and Ls. Ys, Ls, and Ss.
Love it. I remember when the short time that I thought about getting into Wyrmahordes, I would have played the elf faction, and that was mostly because I like their robots, because they look like
pretty bugs.
They look like beetles and kaiju.
Yeah. they're really cool.
I respect
the elves are cool, but man, their names are annoying. They have the worst names just across the line. Yeah. Assyria.
that's an actual.
Oh, that's an actual name.
Assyria.
Yes.
Is spelled with I-S-S.
No, it's spelled with a Y. Ironically.
Anyway, Nissor. Fine. How about Nissor?
There are no nations called Nissor.
Okay, but Nissor and all these. Anyway, they're terrible names. I hate the elf names. God. But so moving right along, though, that's really where the birth of all these species came from, is the mixing of these three gods. And there are other gods. There are more minor gods, and we'll kind of talk about them as they pop up. But the other really big prehistory thing that I also want to talk about before we get into more of the modern setting is dragons. Because dragons are really cool in Iron Kingdoms. But they're like, everything in Iron Kingdoms is sort of familiar, but they take their own kind of unique spin on it. And I really like that, to the point where it's just, if you have someone who knows what fantasy is, then you can show them, oh, this is a dragon. They'll say, yes, that's what a dragon looks like. But at the same time, it's different from Tolkien, and it takes its nice little unique spin on it. And I like that. So it's familiar but different. But dragons in this setting are totally immortal. They have these heart stones that they regenerate from. If you kill the dragon, it'll just regenerate from its heart stone. And pretty much the only way to kill a dragon permanently is to like really shatter the heart stone, which is hard to do. or have another dragon eat that dragon.
It's also a much more successful game dragon than
Hearthstone. True. I thought we were done ragging on War Machine Tactics.
Never.
Oh, no.
No. I mean, you have to understand, we're very we're not very engaged in this setting, so we're just going to make jokes the whole time.
That's fair. But yeah, so the dragons originally started, there was originally one dragon, Toruk the Dragon Father, also the dinosaur.
I think we saw them in concert.
It's a pretty rad band name. Yeah. But Toruk is pretty much a god. He's crazy super powerful, like, he's massive. You need an army, like, you and four of your friends are not going to go and kill a dragon ever in this setting. Like, even if you're the biggest badasses in the universe, you need an army. That's just how it is. But Toruk, for whatever reason, he got really bored one day and he said, you know, I want children, which was the worst decision he ever made. So he goes and he rips his own Hearthstone out and he shatters it himself and he splits it off into these little pieces and the pieces regrow into their own dragons. And then he's like, wow, you guys are so cool. You're my children. Listen to me and do everything I say.
And then they're like, no, Dad, you're not my real dad.
That is exactly what they do. And they get into this big, huge dragon war. And this dragon war is just horrible, and it's all these multiple dragons die during this war. Some of them are eaten by Toruk, some of them are eaten by other dragons, but eventually it sort of settles down to the point where each dragon kind of has his own domain and his own realm. And Toruk specifically really claims these islands called the Shard Isles. Those are going to come into play a little bit later. Another dragon that I should mention really quickly is a dragon by the name of Everblight. He's important.
I've heard that name.
Yes. He is important because he dies super hard during the Dragon Wars. But his Hearthstone is then he purposefully does not regenerate, and he embeds it in a mountain where no one can find it.
Okay.
So he's dying, and he embeds himself in a mountain.
Loving it. Feeling it.
So more about that later, because that comes up a lot later. So yeah, and then moving from there, there's a period where the elves control everything, and the elves are super, the elves, this is pretty much the era of the Tolkien elf. They've got everything, they're super cool, they completely control the world, they're boring and generic, but their gods say, that's very much a good example of the Elven Empire. Yeah. But their gods one day say, hey, they've got this whole court of gods, it's very similar to like a fae court. And they say, hey, we want to come to your world. So you should build a mechanical bridge or magical mechanical bridge between our two worlds. And they all say, that's a great idea.
How
could this possibly go wrong? And so some of their gods come through this portal. They build it. It's massive. This thing is freaking huge. It's like Great Wall of China size.
Nice. Loving it.
And their gods come through. And it works for about 5 minutes. And right when they unpop the champagne, it explodes.
All right. I cannot think of a better end for Rainbow Road.
Yep. It is a giant, horrible explosion. The effects of it are seen across the entire world. Where the bridge is, there's literally a giant crack that goes to the center of the earth. And everything around it is a desert.
So, is this where they spawn Slaanesh, or...?
Not entirely. I believe that I'll say this. There's a race called the Scorn. I'm not super familiar on exactly how the Scorn work.
I have a vague knowledge.
They're sort of evil elves, and I think that they're born from this split. They're often described as evil Nazi elves.
Not inaccurate.
Which is not exactly
what we need nowadays, I guess.
Yeah, just some Nazi elves. Anyway, moving right along, though. So that's the elves. That's the end of the Elven Empire. Woo! And here's where the humans start to really come up.
Oh.
And yeah, humans, woohoo! And I'm going to kind of gloss over the humans as much as possible.
I mean,
this is creature culture.
You got the blue humans, you got the black humans,
you got the white humans.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I don't get this reference, but okay.
I mean, it's literally just the colors of the army.
Yeah.
You got Menoth, you got other.
Yeah. You got the red ones, you got the white ones, the blue ones, and the black ones.
Yep.
Okay, sure.
I mean, all we're missing is, wait, we got green. It's fucking magic again.
I mean, a little bit, but it's different. So the humans, though, they pretty much they grow up and they start worshiping Menoth like you do. And they really form these priest city-states that are all around the world. And they pretty much just worship Menoth until eventually Menoth, as religions do, it gets super corrupt. And they start exploiting people and they start just overall acting like assholes. And there's these two twins, actually, because in this setting, twins have crazy powers and everyone special is a twin.
Great. That way you can have two models. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, these guys are never going to be models.
You say that now.
We'll talk about why they're never going to be models. Their names are Moro and Thamar. They're fraternal twins. They're not identical. One's a girl, one's a guy.
Okay. Moro doesn't happen to be a giant wolf, right?
No, Moro is not a giant wolf.
Is Moro played by Scully?
No, well, Moro's the dude, Thamar's a girl. Moro pretty much establishes his own religion that says that, hey, we should all be really nice to each other and we should work for the common good. It's essentially sort of fantasy communism in a way.
Okay.
But it's all about help your neighbors. It's all very self-sacrificing. It's just be a good person and all that.
Don't be a fucking asshole.
On the flip side, Thamar goes and says, forget selflessness. We need to be as selfish as possible. So she pretty much creates fantasy libertarianism.
Love it. Oh, man.
So she's fantasy Ayn Rand. And these two eventually establish enough of a following that they ascend. They get into a big fight at the end of it, and their big fight ends with them both becoming gods. And Thamar goes off and she gets her own very small worshiping sector. But Moro's religion, and it turns out being selfless, is a very popular religion. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
So Moro spreads off like wildfire, and Thamar has her various cults that are always just kind of around and hanging out in the...
Probably being assholes.
Yes, probably being assholes, because that's libertarians. So, yeah. So moving right along... those two religions and the Menoth religion get very, very mad at each other, and they have a bunch of huge wars, and they start really fighting. And at the culmination of their fights, these guys called the Orgoth show up. And the Orgoth are another fantasy race. They're these jerk goblin men. They're these huge, like, pale-skinned goblin men, and they practice death magic. And
like all good goblin men.
Yeah, like all good goblin men. They kind of have like a Japanese samurai theme going to them. But they're huge, huge jerks. And they come in and they totally subjugate all of humanity for 300 years. And
I'm not complaining.
I mean, you'd be complaining if you were a human under them, because
granted,
they're huge jerks. They enslave everyone. They pretty much just drive everyone to death to fuel their horrible death magic machines. And yeah, they're awful. And finally, though, there is an awakening, which is said to have been caused by Moro and Thamar. And humans awaken to magic, because before, priests had magic, and they could call the magic of their gods, but there was no general, generic, boring human magic. And then Then there was, yes. And so when this awakening happens, people start practicing alchemy, and it's not quite enough to help them get rid of the Orgoth, because it turns out the Orgoth, all their armor is super magic resistant, so it doesn't really help them all that much.
Why would they have made magic resistant armor when magic didn't exist up to this point?
Priests, man. Okay. Priests' magic didn't do shit. So, what happens is the humans, they start practicing alchemy, and they start forming these mechanical magical mixes, and they start making giant robots, essentially. And these giant robots and these mix in this mechanica really gives them an edge over the Orgoth. And at the same time, a horrible, horrible plague breaks out. And it affects both humans and the Orgoth. And the humans, because they've got these little secret enclaves of science and stuff, they manage to figure out a cure for this disease called Rip Lung. Anyway, but they managed to figure it out.
Does it rip your lung?
It does, in fact.
Descriptive.
All I can think about is it sounds like a bad ice cream flavor.
Rip lung.
Ben and Jerry's Rip lung.
Pistachios and salmon in it.
When I hear Rip lung, I just think of like a Beyblade antagonist.
Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, So the humans manage to figure out a cure for this disease, and the Orgoth do not, and it really is the death blow to the Orgoth. It pretty much wipes them out, and they go and they sail off, and they're never heard from again. And actually, the guy who cured Rip Lung also ascends. He cures so many people that he ascends to godhood as well. And he works in godhood land, which is arcane. So, but yeah, that pretty much brings us to the modern age of everything. And yeah, and so that pretty much gets humans out of the way. I wanted to get humans out of the way as quickly as possible. There's a bunch of different humans. They hate each other. They're always fighting because this is a war game, so everyone has to fight everyone at all times.
And they're humans and they suck.
And they're humans there and they suck. I really want to talk more about the crazy races in this setting because there's some really cool races in this setting. So, and they have their own history as well.
So just to get some other boring races out of the way. So one, we know they're humans. Two, we talked about elves. I know there are dwarves in Iron Kingdoms.
There are dwarves in Iron Kingdoms.
Okay, we can leave it at that.
There are dwarves. I'll briefly talk about them because, as I said, they're similar but different. Like,
just,
like
just everything. Keep it short. That's what dwarves need.
Okay, we'll keep it short for dwarves. Dwarves are merchant people. They have their own land to the north, and they're kind of separate from everything that humanity does. They do work with the Ogryn, though. They're best friends with the Ogryn. The Ogryn work for them, and they work with the Ogryn. And that's pretty much dwarves. They have their own religion, which is about these mountain golem people that they worship. But yeah, and I will say that they were also the only race that managed to fight off the Orgoth. The Orgoth could not invade their lands because they're too well fortified. So they were completely unaffected.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, that's pretty much dwarves.
All right.
So yeah, moving right along though. Probably the biggest and most numerous wild race in Iron Kingdoms is the Trollkit, because once again, the wild races, the wild wilderness around civilization is massive. There's tons and tons of land, and it's really, really just not a great place for humans to live. I mean, there are humans that live there, but really, they're outnumbered by these fantasy races. And the first one are the Trollkin. And Trollkin are really, really cool. I love Trollkin because they're sort of in appearance, they're very similar to your standard fantasy trolls. But they kind of have their own thing going on. They're also kind of like got this fantasy Scotland kind of vibe going to them. They wear tartan patterns. And they stay together with these tribes that they call Creels. Their motto is Kith, Kin, and Creel. Or Kith, Creel, and Kin. That's right. The order is important.
I do remember a lot of art of them with logs.
Yes. Yeah. They have logs. Specifically, remember back when I mentioned that the Devourer Worm sort of splits them into their more civilized and their more ancient and crazy versions. They're dire trolls. And dire trolls are huge, horrible monsters. They love to eat everything. And they also never die. They pretty much just will get killed and they'll regenerate eventually. But they're immortal in a way. Or I shouldn't say immortal. Immortal's not quite right. They're more like the unaging. Okay. They don't age. You can kill them, but they don't age. Mm-hmm. They're really hard to kill, though. They regenerate. They're also giant, yes. They range from 5 or 6 feet to about 15 or 20 feet tall.
Rad.
So, yeah, they get very, very big. The biggest ones are called Mountain Kings, and they're cool. They're really cool. But, yeah, so the trolls, they're really all about their clans, about their Creels. And they all work within their own Creels, and their Creels really are their brethren. And Creels fight all the time. Like, if there's a land dispute, if there's a dispute about pretty much anything, a Creel will fight another Creel. And there have been multiple efforts to make huge, lasting nations and that sort of thing, and they'll mostly fall apart. The biggest one was in ancient history was the Mogul, which wasn't entirely trolls. It was actually everyone working together, which is pretty much the only time in history that has ever happened in the Iron Kingdoms, is everyone has gotten along for a short period of time.
Leave it to the trolls.
Yeah, leave it to the trolls.
I love a troll. I'm glad that trolls get to be on top.
Yeah.
They're cool. Trolls are really, really cool in this setting. They also practice a couple of really cool cultural things. The first one is stone scribing. They are all about etching runes into stuff, and this is how they tell their history. This is how they practice art. They're all about stone shaping, essentially. And what they'll do actually to create scrolls is they'll just go up to these stones and they'll just rub it in. And then they'll have a scroll that has everything that was on the stone. And they're very famous for that. That's their thing. That's their magic. When they go into battle, they'll carry the giant stones that have their history on it, which is also magic. And it protects them. So, yeah. That's the first thing that makes them really cool. The second thing that makes them really cool is that they've got these guys called Fel'Collars. And Fel'Collars essentially have giant lungs, and they use it to do shout magic a la Skyrim.
All right.
And they also sing. I should say that this is shout magic, but it is also technically singing. And it's one of the things where the trolls love it. To them, it's just this awesome, great, super fun tune. And to everyone else within earshot, it is just horrible, horrible noise.
So it's basically death metal.
Yes, it's death metal.
Okay.
It's trollkin death metal. Perfectly.
Right. So trolls are bards. Okay.
Yep, trolls are bards. Yeah, gotcha. If you wanted to play a troll bard, that would be something you could definitely do. Fel'Collars. Yeah, they're super cool. And the third thing that's really unique about the trolls is they really, really like beer and alcohol specifically. They are all about drinking all the time. They make their own drinks. Their own drinks are too strong for human consumption. They're pretty much poison to humans. Trolls love it. They're out, that's actually one of the things that Creoles will fight over a lot is if someone makes a brewery and another Creole wants that brewery, they'll go and kill them for it.
All right.
And they'll even go, sometimes they'll raid humans and take their brew. And they really, really like alcohol. So I know the creature culture, we're always talking about how which races and how make alcohol and how they'd make alcohol.
All right.
Yeah. And the Trollkin really are, that's part of their culture.
That's
that's a huge part of their culture is
good
drinking.
Making moonshine.
Long as we got some kind of brewer somewhere in the set, and we're good.
Oh, yeah. Yep. In fact, there's even in battle, they have guys who use their crazy trollkin lungs to spew alcohol into a flame and just breathe fire everywhere.
All right.
And that's really cool.
Yeah.
There's another little cool thing that's saying. And so, yeah, that's basically trolls. The trolls hate the humans because, specifically, they hate Signar right now because they were allied with Signar and they were looking for a homeland because their homeland was slowly being taken away by the civilized world. And so the king of Signar at the time said, oh yeah, sure, we'll give you a homeland. And there's this really nice little patch of savanna, essentially. It's right next to the desert where the elves blew up. it's a nice little area, and you guys can make a good little living there. And so they go and they live there, and what the Signarans forgot to tell them is that the Scorn, who are these evil Nazi elves, were invading, and was their path. That was where they were marching to.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't an accident.
Oh, no, it was not. It was not an accident at all. It was a huge dick move by the Signarans and by the humans. And so the trolls got into this big fight with the Scorn, and then they came back to the Signarans and they said, what the hell? You guys, you totally screwed us over. You told us that these would be good, peaceful lands, and the Signarans are kind of like, well, I mean, you know, you gotta...
They were at the time.
Yeah, they were at the time. We didn't know that they were coming that way.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Not just because wink.
Yep, exactly. And so the trolls stopped being allies with the humans.
You left out a very important fact.
Oh, what's that?
There's a dire troll named Molg the Ancient.
Yeah, Molg! Okay, Molg is very cool. Molg carries a giant log, as Colin said earlier. And he is also, like, a walking stone scribe. So he's got ancient runes from all these different Trollkin civilizations.
I'm sure he's got ruins on him, too.
Yeah, ruins on him, too. But he's got all these ancient civilization, like, history etched onto his back. And it makes him stronger.
Yeah.
And he's a really, really cool guy.
Cool. I dig.
Yes, Molg the Ancient. That is definitely something that I missed with them. But, yeah. And so that's basically Trollkin.
Yeah.
I want to move on and talk about a couple of the other races real fast.
Go for it.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, I forgot something really important about trolls. I'm sorry. One more thing. The trolls love to worship Dunia. They're like Dunia's favorite kids. They're another huge part of their culture is that they worship Dunia. They get a ton of their magic from worshiping Dunia. She is their patron god.
So, like, one troll might say to another troll, like, Dunia, want to go to church?
Yes, exactly. Wait, I want to redo my pun. But, yeah, so the trolls really, really worship Dunia, and they get all their magic from Dunia.
Cool. I respect that.
Mm-hmm. The other Dunia race that I feel like I've got to talk about are the Pharaoh, which I Aren't really, the kings really of like the Pharaoh. Setting? I wish they were the kings of the city. The Pharaoh are so cool. The Pharaoh are kind of, they're often described as pigmen, and that's not 100% correct. They're boar men. So think less pink and fleshy and think more brown and hairy. But other than that, they're pigmen.
I don't know if you and the audience could hear it, but my eyebrow just went up.
Yes. No, the Pharaoh are super, super cool. And they're pretty much a mix of, goblins, orcs, and, gnolls. They live in the desert. Nope. They're really, really good at just living in difficult to live in places. They're scavengers primarily. They do have their own agriculture, but agriculture is really second to hunting and gathering. They are a Dunia species as well, but they don't religion is not a big part of their culture like it is for the trolls. And like it is for some other species, like the humans who are lame. So they are a Dunia species, but they don't really worship her that much.
Okay.
They're mainly scavengers, and they're mainly really good at just getting stuff that everyone else drops and scrapping it all together and creating these really unique sort of constructions.
Exactly. I can't think of anything more up Knoll's alley.
Yeah. Nope. They're very similar to Knoll's. Another thing that makes them similar to Knoll's is one thing that they're is they practice cannibalism.
A race after my own heart. Literally.
Well, yes, indeed. Very literally, they will eat your heart. But the joke sort of it is that that bacon is delicious, and they think bacon is delicious too. And so they have no qualms at all with eating each other. And so the idea is if your brother falls on battle, you might shed a tear or two, and then you'll go, well, he's food now.
Waste not, want not.
Waste not, want not. Time to dig in. And their whole culture is really sort of based on this, like, eat or be eaten kind of mentality. They really just are, they worship strength more than anything else. All their leaders, like the leader of a Pharaoh tribe is who's the strongest. So that's really kind of their whole mentality. And in the modern day history, the Pharaoh are experiencing a bit of a revolution right now. And the reason for that is because of two people. One of them is Lord Carver, and the other one is Dr. Arcadius, who is unfortunately a human.
Of course.
But Lord Carver is not a human, and Lord Carver is the best. Lord Carver is a huge ego trip. He was a mercenary, and he saw human culture, and he said, this is bull. This is where Pharaoh should be doing. And so he decided to be ruler of the Pharaoh, and he took the name Lord Carver, bringer of most massive destruction, Lord Esquire III.
Good.
I respect that.
Yeah.
And he started uniting all the different Pharaoh tribes under the Thornfall Alliance. And he became this huge, massive army. And there, when he started gathering traction, he ran into this guy, this mad scientist named Dr. Arcadius. Dr. Arcadius realized that the Pharaoh accepted body modification better than any other species he's ever seen. So he started to pretty much hack them into part and strap robot bits to them.
Right. Because I was going to say he opened up his own piercing studio, but no. I think I like that better.
Oh, no. Heck no. That said, though, the Pharaoh are also totally about body piercing. They love that. So I'm sure he has a body piercing studio on the side.
Good.
But he started strapping robot bits to the Pharaoh, and he also realized that the Pharaoh are slightly different from the trolls in that where occasionally, because, they're born in litters, because, they're pigs. And when they're born, some of them will just be bigger and stupider than the rest. And that's really where the big monster pharaoh come from. And usually the pharaoh will abandon these children and they'll just grow up, or they'll grow up and keep them as pets. And that's just how they get there. And Dr. Arcadius realized that if you took one big stupid pig and you bred it with another stupid pig, it makes a bigger, stupider pig. And
pig breeding at its finest. Yes,
pig breeding at its finest. And so between this sort of technological leap, the Lord Carver coming and combining all these different tribes
and stupid pigs,
selective breeding, the pigs have really are really trying to make a name for themselves in the world, and they're a really massive threat right now. But really, this is sort of the make or break time for them in history, because at this point, if they don't get out a little bit of land, they're going to get their asses kicked, and they're going to go back to just being a bunch of scattered tribes. Mm. And if they do, they could potentially become an actual civilization as opposed to scattered tribes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a win-win either way.
Yeah. Exactly. And yeah, that's pretty much what the Pharaoh are up to.
All right. We've hit the best race in this setting. Yeah. We can end the episode now.
I wish. The Pharaoh are super cool.
I feel disappointed that that entire time I couldn't come up with a single, like, iron-based pun.
Oh, man. But yeah, so that's the Pharaoh.
That's all right. There's steel time.
I knew this was going to happen. I came here and I was like, there's going to be puns. Carl, prepare yourself. But, oh, I wasn't prepared.
No one is ever ready.
Oh, it's terrible. But yeah, while we're talking about desert people, I'm going to very briefly mention the Afarit.
Wait, before we go any farther.
Oh, yes.
Before we go any farther, uh-oh. It's the Iron Kingdoms, and there's a bunch of Pharaoh. So it's Ferris.
Ah!
All right, now we can continue. I had to get that one out.
The Afarit, they're super desert people. They live in the crazy, super harsh desert. They're nomads. They ride these Jim Henson-looking camel things. Yeah, if you took a camel and you made it look like Jim Henson made it, that's what they ride.
Jim Henson made a camel.
Yeah, so Jim Henson made a camel, that's what the Afarit ride. They're really briefly mentioned in the setting. They're not a major force.
Right, like, I've never heard of them at all, even after playing the game.
Well, that's because there is only one of them in the game. And they're a mercenary unit you can buy.
Okay.
That's just, hey, they're there, and they have guns, and they shoot things.
All right.
So, yeah. That's the Afarit, though. And we already talked about the Scorn.
So, like, what are the Afarit like?
So
wait, did you say they were human, or?
No, they're not human. They're not human at all. They have, they're kind of like camel people, really. They've got eyes that are designed to keep sand out, and they can run without water for a really, really long time.
So, it's like if Jim Henson designed a camel that was supposed to look like a person. It also rides a camel also designed by Jim Henson.
There you go. Exactly.
All right. Could you spell their name out for me?
E-F... Oh, gosh. E-F-I-A-R-T-I, Afarit.
Yeah, I definitely killed my phone trying to find the correct spelling of Pharaoh.
Oh, F-A-R-R-A-O-W.
Okay. E-F-A-A-R-I-T.
There we go.
Yup, that is like a weird, fucking
it's a weird
dark
Jim
crystal.
A dark crystal-ass looking guy. they're Jim Henson.
Jim Henson looking ass. Man, I can barely see the dudes.
The dudes are riding on the Jim Henson camel.
All right, so these are the crew.
The crew. I should don't know what crew are.
Crew are the weird parrot lizards from Warhammer 40K.
Oh.
They hang out with a towel.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure, they're the crew. Why not?
I mean, aesthetically, it's actually very similar.
Yeah.
It's just fur instead of feathers.
More clothes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is a disappointment, but still.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so moving right along, though, the other race that I really want to talk about are the Gatormen.
Gatormen?
They are Gatormen.
Gatormen.
Yes,
Gatormen.
They are gator people.
I like the Gatormen.
Gatormen are really cool. They live in the swamp. They have kind of a whole voodoo aesthetic going on with them.
They're really just big fans of University of Florida.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. They love to live in the swamp, of course. They're super, super territorial.
As gators are wont to be.
Yes, as gators are wont to be. You can pass through their territory, but only if you announce yourself and pretty much just genuflect before the leader of that area.
All right, that's fair.
That's the only way that they'll let you pass through.
I mean, that's better than most races.
How likely is it that you do that and they still just, they put you in the death roll and eat you anyways?
I'd say about 30%.
Okay. That's good odds.
Yeah, it's pretty good odds. They're not unreasonable.
Yeah, for a war game, that's real good odds.
No, they're not an unreasonable people, but they're also definitely not friendly. Specifically you know to are. The other people. What are they?
Sexy.
Oh. that's actually one thing that I really like about the Gators is in the war game, they made a girl Gator model and everyone was really worried that they were going to put boobs on the girl Gator. And they did not.
I actually respect Iron Kingdoms a lot more for that. And I kind of expected them to do that, mm-hmm. like to actually leave it non-human sexualized.
Again, mm-hmm. we're not playing Malifaux.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, this would be a good time as any. Can I talk about like sexual representation in the Iron Kingdoms?
I mean, we cover that a lot. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, it's something that's really good in the Iron Kingdoms. None of the species, like, there's tons of powerful, badass women in the Iron Kingdoms. And
outside of them.
And outside of them. Okay. And if you, in the war game, if you want to just play a woman, like, there are tons of cool ladies you can play as. And it's really about a 50-50 split. And Kador is ruled by an empress, and she's cold-hearted woman. She's crazy badass. She's awesome. She's just, yeah, very, very evil. Well, not evil. Oh, gosh. And Empress of Kador. Anyway, I could do a whole podcast on the Empress of Kador, and I'm not going to, but she's a cool character.
And Circle Ouroboros has some very, very cool female characters. All of my casters that I have are the female.
Oh, yeah. Morvana. I want to talk more about Morvana a little bit later once I start talking about the Tharn. But there's Morvana, there's Kaya.
I like Kaya, except for the not even implied bestiality.
I mean...
they, like, straight up.
I mean, it's kind of, sort of, not really. It's her spirit wolf.
Her card says that she had relations with it to secure his loyalty.
I don't remember reading that. I have not read that part of her card.
No, it wasn't her card, it was in the Codex equivalent.
Okay, well, my understanding is that she had, like, a World of Warcraft druid dream, and they became friends through that, but...
Here's the thing, here's an important thing that I want to point out. A group of Gator men is called a posse.
Yes. That's very important.
Yes, they are called posse. I almost forgot about that. Yes, the group of Gator men are called a posse. the Gator men are... really, like I mentioned, that they're huge jerks. They're specifically huge jerks to anything else that lives in the swamp. This is really where their territorialness comes in. And there are two other races that live in the swamps. They're croaks, which are bullywogs. Like, that's pretty much just it. If you imagine a bullywog, you now know what a croak looks like.
Good old frogman.
They're good old frogmen. Some of them are poisonous. Some of them aren't.
Cool.
They like to throw darts at things because frogs, woo! The bog trogs. And bog trogs are some fish people. They're real Creature of the Black Lagoon looking guys.
Yeah.
And they're really cool. Bog trogs are really cool. But they're both pretty much enslaved by the Gatormen. It's one of those things where it's like not quite enslavement, but it's if the Gatormen say, hey, we're going here, we need to go kill some humans, you're coming with us. And it's not like, no, we're not coming with you. It's no, we're coming with you. So it's indentured servitude. Indentured servitude.
You.
Thank you. Indentured servitude. It's really indentured servitude. So they're huge jerks to everyone. But yeah, and the Gatormen recently, there's a couple cool things about their culture. I mentioned that they have kind of a voodoo swamp thing. They actually have their own unique kind of magic, and that is because they worship a different god. They don't worship the Devourer Worm. They worship Kosk. And Kosk is a split off of the Devourer Worm that specifically created the Gatormen, and he is known as the Great Maw because he's just a giant, huge gator mouth.
So basically a sea mouth just popped off of this out of the worm and made some gator men.
Exactly. So they worship Kosk.
He's also like one letter away from being like the best wholesaler ever.
Kosko. Oh yeah. Well it's spelled K-O-S-S-O-K, Kosk, I believe.
Okay.
There's some S's, some O's, and some K's in there.
Well, why would they do that? They already have Cossacks.
They do, that's right. Kosk and Cossacks are slightly different. Only a little. One are people who like the cold, and the other's a giant gator god.
Yeah.
Difference.
So they worship Kosk, and they get their magic from Kosk. And they also recently had a big guy, because of course they're in the war game, so you got to be able to play them in the war game.
Yes.
And the guy who created them from just being a territorial kind of swamp dwellers to fighting army was a dude named Barnabas. And Barnabas was really, really old. And he said, I'm the most badass gator ever. I should be a god. Before I die, I don't want to die. I want to turn into a god.
His name was Barnabas.
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 Barnabas the gator god.
Barnabas the gator god. And so he goes and he says, you know what? We're going to get all our gator men together and we're going to march around and we're going to kill people. And we're going to kill people until I become a god. And that's his idea. His idea is, if I kill enough people, it's going to happen.
Checks out. All right.
And what's funny enough is that it does check out. One of the super recent events in the fluff is that Carver and him get into a fight and Carver wins and kills him. And instead of him dying, he ascends and he becomes a demigod. So now the gators are being led by a demigod named Barnabas.
So like that doesn't benefit Carver at all.
No, it doesn't.
And what's the point in fucking winning?
He actually did it to impress a lady. There was a lady pig that he wanted to marry, and she was a badass general too, and he said, you know what, I'm going to prove that I'm the coolest and that she should marry me by going and killing that enemy general, Gatorman.
Okay. All right, you know what, that's fair.
Yep.
He created a god, but did he win her hand? Or
it's both? Unclear. It hasn't been... That was left unresolved in the fluff so far.
Oh, well, that's fucking lame.
It was fucking lame, because the whole reason that they went to that battle was because it was effectively a murder date. Because he went to her tribe and he said, hey, our tribe should be together. We should get married.
I respect
and she
murder
said,
dates.
She said, I will only marry you if you prove that you're a huge badass enough for me. And so they went on a murder date. And that's where they ran into the gators and the trolls. And it was actually a huge big battle in the fluff. And it was super crazy. But
did the pigmen like win all together? Or
the trolls won all together. Because the trolls were defending. They were the defending team. And it was really just a giant clusterfuck, and they wanted to get everyone in. And so there's trolls, there's pigs, there's gators, there's Scorn in there too, and they're just all having this massive battle over some stupid fort.
All right.
But really, the real reason why the battle happened is because it was magic bullshit, really. Like, for a while, the Devourer Worm came onto the battlefield and started eating things before he was sealed away again. It was a bad time for everyone, really.
Gotcha.
It stopped becoming a battle, and it started becoming a mass murder.
That's what Barnabas wanted.
Yeah, that is exactly what Barnabas wanted. He got into this big, dumb magic fight, and there was enough big, dumb magic death that he turned into a god.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Good.
So that's the Gatorman. Moving right along. Let's see, what other cool races are there that I want to talk about? There are the Gobbers. Gobbers are real cool little guys.
I'm going to guess they're goblins.
You are 100% correct.
Holy shit.
They are just straight up goblins. The thing is that they're a little bit smarter than goblins, and there are sort of wilderness goblins. They're bigger and dumber, and they're your boring standard goblins. But there's also regular gobbers, and gobbers like to live with humans. And they have sort of made out their own little communities in human society. And they are really, really good mechanics. They're the best mechanics in the setting.
I've never seen that done before.
Yeah, exactly. It's unique.
It seems they really enjoy hats.
They do really enjoy hats. They like hats. They like, they're sort of like little Da Vincis, though, where it's they'll start a project and then they'll get distracted and they'll leave it half finished and everyone will be like, this was really cool. Finish that. And they'll be like, no, I'm over here making a marshmallow gun or something. And then they'll get halfway done with the marshmallow gun and they'll forget that. And then they'll go and make something else. So that's gobbers. They're cool. The one thing that makes me sad is that they can't become either warlocks or warcasters. They don't have the magical ability for it, which is very sad. So they can't really get super strong or important.
I'm always really disappointed when settings do that.
Yeah,
like, they just it's arbitrarily restrict a race from doing a thing.
Yeah, it's really dumb because every other race really can do that and has the potential to do that. And then there's this huge part of the setting, which are gobbers, because they love to put gobbers in pictures. They're always sort of in the background and they're always just sort of messing around and
I'm sure they're just, they need one dip and a quarter and suddenly there will be a gobber army with a gobber warcaster.
I would be so happy if that were to happen. That would be the coolest thing ever. But yeah,
so you get extra points for only half taking objectives.
Oh, that'd be so cool. I love covers. Yeah, gobbers are neat. They're kind of silly. They're just kind of there, but they're cool. They're just something that makes the setting unique, in my opinion. Anyway, we should get back to dragons. So I talked about dragons, and I haven't really talked about dragons in the modern day. Dragons in the modern day, a few of the dragon children managed to team up, and they fought Toruk. And this time they fought him, and they actually managed to drive him back, which is a really... It's just something that's never happened before. So there's this dragon alliance going on, and they drove him back to his island home base. And they said, hey, if you come back to these islands, or you come back to the mainland, we're going to mess you up and we're going to eat you. And so Toruk is trapped on the islands right now because of the other dragons. But he said, okay, that's fine. I'm going to amass an army to protect myself from you guys and to go and just kill humans. And I'm just going to make the biggest army ever. It's going to be great. And so he goes and he finds these pirates that live on the island. And he says, you guys are going to be my generals now. And they're like, no, we're not. And so he breathes a magical, horrible fire on them and turns them into liches.
Okay.
Specifically iron liches, because liches in this setting are robot liches. And they're all rad.
So he breathes magical fire on them and they turn into robots.
Yes, they turn into liches and then they get robot suits. But liches need robot suits because it's cool.
Interdasting.
Yeah, it is interdasting. And dragons are also, they have this sort of blight aura around them. So anything that lives near a dragon becomes corrupted by their evil presence.
I think we just call that becoming a furry.
Pretty much. But everything on the islands of the Shard Isles, which is also known as the Nightmare Empire of Krix, is... super evil and undead and robots and all this crazy stuff.
Right. My brother plays Krix.
Yeah. One of the people that lives on the Shard Isles are the Satixis, which are really hard to pronounce, and they're essentially siren people. And they like luring people to their death with their sexy bodies and then murdering them. And they're really good at that, and they're the most numerous. They're a pirate race. They're sort of... The statistics. Sorry, let me start over a little bit. I got distracted. The Satixis, they are not. There's not a lot of Satixis, but what they make up for, they're pretty much just all pirates. They go around and they do pirate things.
Okay.
And that's their thing, and they're one of the main forces under the under Toruk's Nightmare Army, along with the Legion of the Undead, and the Liches. But one thing you guys talked about in the creature culture episode is you were always talking about how would a society of liches work. And the whole time I was like, oh, they're going to talk about Iron Kingdoms now. And I was like, okay, when are they going to say Iron Kingdoms liches? And you guys kept going and going. And then you didn't mention them. I was like, what? There's literally a society of liches in this game.
We just weren't invested in the setting. Yeah. That's why you're here.
Yeah, that is why I'm here. I'm very, very invested in the setting. Mm-hmm. The liches in this game, they all work under Toruk, and they pretty much are all working to please Toruk, because they want to get under his favor. And so they're all these immensely powerful beings, but they're constantly just trying to get attention from Daddy.
And so they'll go around. That seems to be a theme. Yeah. Like, daddy issues are really a theme in this game.
They want their dragon dad to just take him out for pizza.
Yeah, they really do.
Throw the ball around.
Oh, man. They'll go and they betray each other, and they scheme, and they have all these their own plots. And when Toruk calls on them, they'll say, oh, go and murder these humans specifically. It's like, fuck you guys specifically. they'll listen to him, but they all each have their own motivations and their own secret plots and their own ways that they're kind of fighting amongst each other. They also have their own way of really gaining favor from Toruk. There's guys like Venithrax, and Venithrax says, you hate the other dragons, and Toruk's like, yes. He goes, okay, I'm going to become the best dragon fighter ever. And so he did. And so he learned how to, his magic specifically counters dragon magic. He builds armies and specifically hunts dragons, and that's his thing. He loves hunting dragons. And then there's guys like Asphyxius. Asphyxius is the biggest dick ever.
I still can't believe his name is actually Asphyxius.
Yes, his nickname's Gaspy.
They The Crix naming scheme is really something.
It really is.
That really ranks up there with Dark Badman.
Dark Badman. Asphyxius is a huge jerk. He's pretty much the most cunning out of all the liches, and he is specifically famous for screwing over another lich and turning him into a sword. Which is an insult to injury, because Asphyxius is not a frontline fighter. He's very much a backline, cast magic, plotty, like evil laugh machinations kind of guy. And so he doesn't even really use his lich sword, but he just has it.
Yep.
And he's a huge jerk. And then there's a whole bunch of liches. There's 12 of them. I'm not going to name every single one. Cause they all have stupid names.
That's the truth.
It's very much the truth.
I know half of them from my brother.
Yeah. Oh man. I'm trying to think of some other ones. Scavarus, Terminus.
Yep.
Anyway, they're stupid names.
Robberus.
Arsonist.
The fire lich. That wouldn't even surprise me.
Doesn't do dishes. This
toilet seat left opicus.
Underhandicus.
So yeah, but hey, if you want a society of liches and you want to see a really cool society of liches,
Anchovicus.
There you go.
Anchovies.
Anchovicus.
I like anchovies.
I'm sorry.
Oh man. But yeah, so that's your society of liches right there. So
yep.
There's something else unique that's in the Iron Kingdoms that's not anywhere else.
This is very true. That is one incredibly unique thing about the setting is Crix itself.
Yeah. And Crix has been a like important main faction for a long time, right?
Yeah, they're one of the four initial factions.
Yeah. So I think they were the black humans that we were alluding to.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not human. I mean, not even humans at all, I guess.
Yeah, there's
they used to be sort of sometime.
There's a couple humans in Crix, but it's not. It's mostly zombies and Satixis.
They stop being human when they get undead, I guess.
Yeah. They also stop being human when they hang out with Torek enough.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we did have an episode about vampires.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the Crix, and they're cool.
Speaking of which, does Iron Kingdoms have a Dracula?
Oh, that is a good question. I don't think they do.
How can you have a fantasy setting without a Dracula
in it? I don't think there's a Dracula. The closest thing are the Infernals, which I'm not super knowledgeable about.
Ain't they just demons?
They are just demons.
The demons and a Dracula.
They're demons and a Dracula. they're all about making contracts with people.
Yep, they're demons. Well, yeah, devils, but whatever.
Yeah, they make contracts for your souls, and that's really, like, everything in their whole arsenal is designed to trick people into making a contract with them for their soul. And that's pretty much Infernals. I don't really know a lot about Infernals, I'll be honest.
All I know is they're big fiery magma dudes.
They're big fiery magma dudes. There's some really creepy ladies that wear creepy masks, and they have big lists of names of everyone they've tricked. And they're cool looking. But yeah, they're cool looking demon people. That's pretty much it.
Who do we got next?
Next up, you know what? We're talking about dragons. We got to talk about Everblight.
Well, yeah.
So Everblight, I mentioned that he was on top of a mountain, right?
In the mountains?
In the mountain. Yeah, he's in the mountain. He's in the mountain on top of the mountain.
King in the mountain.
Yeah, king in the mountain, dragon in the mountain kind of thing. But one day there was this Ogryn slave, which we'll briefly talk about Ogryn. We mentioned them kind of beforehand. They're a really noble race. They're sort of orcish in appearance, but they really pride themselves on being defenders and doing good work, and they usually work for clients. Like the dream career for every little Ogryn baby is a boker, who is essentially a hired defender.
I will say, this setting has a ridiculous number of useless terms that don't mean anything.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It sure does. But yeah, so Ogryns, they're cool. They're sort of tertiary to everything else. But, I mean, they're there, and they're unique, and they're cool. Because this setting doesn't really have orcs. You know, there's no big, dumb, stupid guys running around and being evil. And Ogryn are the closest thing to orcs.
Sure, what do you mean? There's humans.
Humans.
No. I should have seen that coming.
Probably, but we're glad you didn't.
But yeah, so those are Ogryns. And there was an enslaved Ogryn. I don't know who enslaved them. Probably Kador. They're jerks. They're humans and they're jerks. And
song in there somewhere.
he escaped, and he heard a voice calling him, "Hey, you should come up this mountain." And he thought that was a really good idea at the time.
I mean, it probably was, honestly.
For him specifically, this was a really good idea.
Yeah.
For everyone else in the setting, this is not a good thing. Climbs up the mountain and he finds this heartstone, and the voice in his head whispers, "Hey, you should shove me into your chest."
That's a reasonable request.
Yeah, and he's like, "You know what? That sounds like a good idea.
I saw Power Rangers."
I watched Dragonheart, the first one, the second one, not the third one. No, I watched the third one. I did.
It's three more Dragonhearts than I've seen.
I refuse to talk about the fourth one again.
Yeah, I listened to that episode, and I was like, well, what are you guys talking about?
Dragons dance, that's what.
But yeah, so he takes this, and he shoves it into his heart, and he becomes a horrible dragon man. And
Trogdor?
Yes, Trogdor. He literally becomes Trogdor. Yeah. But yeah, he's a dragon man. He actually does have a big beefy arm. Oh my god. This guy's name is Thagrosh. I should mention that. He becomes named Thagrosh.
Fucking Thagrosh?
Thagrosh. That is his name. He probably had a normal name before he shoved the dragon heart into his face.
But. So you're telling me that Thagrosh is ever blighting the countryside, ever blighting the peasants, ever blighting all of their thatched-roofed cottages.
He's ever blading all the Nis. So yeah. So Everblade just happened to land in a really cold mountain. So when Thagrosh comes into being, he finds all the Winter Elves. And the Winter Elves are sort of like the drow of this setting. But they weren't evil until Thagrosh came around. And then he corrupted all of them. And he literally committed genocide. So the Nis were really, really screwed over by this. They're now pretty much an uncorrupted Nis is very, very rare to find. And they don't have a homeland. And they're pretty much just running around trying to escape from this horrible army of their former people.
Digging it.
That sucks.
It really sucks. So yeah, that's the Nis.
Maybe they should make a pact with the Pig Folk.
They should. Oh, that'd be cool. They'd have to go into the desert, though.
They're not spicy boys. They like staying in the cold.
They're cold boys. Their god is literally the god of winter. Because all the elf gods are seasons and other dumb things. Well, I shouldn't say dumb, but they're all dead anyway. Nisr, actually, the winter god is one of the only gods left alive from the elf lands.
Okay.
They worship the winter god, or they worshipped the winter god before they all were horribly corrupted. And Everblight decided, you know, I've got this cool army, and my stupid dad has his army, and I'm going to go kill him. And that's the Legion of Everblight.
Okay. They're also kind of sexy alien things.
Yeah, there's weird sexy alien things in there, too. There's also a lot of just really horrible, grotesque things in there.
Yeah, isn't that what I just said?
Are we talking about actual weird sexy aliens, or just the way that you think about the alien queen from Aliens?
I plead the fifth.
It's the latter!
But yeah, no, they have horrible, vaguely Geiger-esque dragon monsters.
It's like if Geiger worked with clay instead of, like, pencil and ink drawings. They're a little more bulky, a little more heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Still, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, if I played anything besides Circle, it would probably be either Everblight or Piggies.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good way to transition into the next race I kind of want to mention, which is sort of a race and sort of a conglomerate.
Right.
Which is the Circle. And the Circle are a bunch of druids.
Yep.
And they worship Ouroboros, which is technically they believe that Dunia and the Devourer Worm aren't two gods. They're one god called Ouroboros.
A snake eating its tail.
Yeah, snake eating its tail. And that's what they believe. But a lot of people think that they worship the Devourer Worm because they're too stupid to really realize the difference. And they play with this because they'll be like, "Oh yeah, we worship the worm. You guys worship the worm too. Let's hang out. Yeah. We're bros." and the Circle has been pretty much manipulating things since the dawn of time. I mentioned Riplung. They secretly unleashed Riplung on the world, and they're really sad when it got cured, because they like killing humans too. So they were very, very sad when Ripplin got cured. But the Circle Ouroboros works with pretty much every single other race to kind of get their goals done. And they were friends with the trolls, but recently they had a big falling out with the trolls.
Ouroboros and trolls no longer friends.
Yes, Ouroboros and trolls no longer friends. Tharn are my true friends now. Which, the Tharn are cool. The Tharn were humans, but then they worshipped the Devourer Worm so hard that they turned into beast people.
Loving it.
And I respect this.
They're really cool. They're crazy tribal people, and they're already bigger and scarier than normal people, but when they get into a crazy Devourer Worm worshipping frenzy, they can turn into beast people. And aren't they get like, bigger and hairier and scarier.
Don't they tend to be like goat men kind of things?
Yeah, they're kind of like goat lion men in a way. Yeah. They've got big, huge dreadlock, crazy manes. Yeah, but then they also have like goat faces.
Yeah, they're not quite the satyrs that we've got, but they're not quite, you know, lion folk either.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty cool. I don't have any Tharns in my army, but I want to get some.
Yeah. They're cool, and you can play them in Unleashed. The one thing that I'll mention is there's a little bit of sexual dimorphism with them. Because the ladies get sneakier and speedier and stealthier when they transform. They transform, but they get more dexterous, and the guys get big and hulky.
The ladies go ranger, the males go barbarian.
Exactly. And they're different, but at the same time, once again, this setting is really good with its treatment of women. And so if you're a badass lady chick, you can lead a Tharn imp, you can lead a Tharn tribe. And if you're a badass dude, you can also lead a Tharn tribe. But the Tharn also recently had a big comeback, and they've also really allied themselves with the Circle recently, because back hundreds of years ago, they got into a fight with some Morrowinds. More examples of humans being assholes coming up. That
game. Yeah, if you're really going to get into a fight over Morrowind, like, it's a better game than Skyrim. Just, like, I'm sorry.
It is, but I don't like it as much.
But, yeah, so they get into a fight with Morrow. Or with the people who worship Morrow, jerk humans, and they get cursed. Morrow, in the biggest dick move ever, curses them and makes them infertile. And so all of a sudden their numbers just go way, way down, and they become a fringe race.
Fucking Salarians.
Yeah, exactly. It's literally that. But so that is until they met Morvana. And Morvana is a Circle Druid, and she came by, and she has this whole thing of death and rebirth.
She balances things.
Yeah, she balances things. And she came along, and she said, I heard you guys are having trouble having sex.
and that's how you know it gets good.
Yes, and she fixed that problem right up. Morvana is kind of a sexy temptress kind of lady, too, so.
Really? She always seemed... She seemed more like that cold, cruel aunt to me.
Oh yeah, that's fair. That's a more fair way of putting it.
Like she seemed like the aunt that you didn't want to run into at the reunion, but you know you're going to, so you like drink a whole bunch beforehand, and then like it just gets unpleasant, and you end up talking to her, and you regret the whole night.
That's a much better way of saying it.
And she's just kind of like, oh, why haven't you repopulated your race yet?
Exactly. And then she's like, you know, I can offer you a whole lot of Viagra and I don't care. She's the creepy aunt.
Yeah, she's very much a creepy aunt. That's a much better way of describing Morvana. And so she helps them, she rids them of the curse. And they come back in a huge way and they pretty much pledge all themselves to the Circle.
Yep.
And one thing I actually learned really recently from Hardcore History is there was a Tharn king who went against the Circle and the Tharn joining the Circle, whose name was Gederix, and which I recently learned is a Celt king name.
Yeah. Cool.
Which is really, really cool. But things did not end well for Gederix. He lost super hard, and Cro-Mac, the current Tharn King, made him drink Warp Wolf Elixir, which turns you into a giant horrible wolf monster.
Yes.
And he went insane and turned into a giant horrible wolf monster.
Yeah, and isn't he a playable unit?
Yes.
Because I remember seeing him.
He is playable. Since he turned into a horrible wolf, he has become Cro-Mac's, like, number one guy.
Yep.
Is being a giant wolf monster really that bad, though?
I mean, he's no longer sentient, so...
But he's a giant wolf
monster. Yeah, but that's just him. There's a lot of sentient warp wolves.
that's true. There are. You get kind of like half warp wolf people. People who kind of only take a little sip of the elixir. just a little off the top.
Just the tip.
So why are they called warp wolves?
Because they are able to warp their bodies, which is cool.
And they do so consistently.
Distend like their stuff and... Mm-hmm. Could you then call warp wolf elixir bone hurting juice?
Sure. If you wanted to. But warp wolves, they can pretty much, they can morph their muscles. They can warp their muscles to either be like stronger or faster or more durable.
Yep.
Or stealthier. Sneakier.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... They've pretty much got a solution to every problem.
Or my favorite, they literally turn into ghosts.
Yeah. One of the warps is they turn into a ghost.
You just die. You die and you're a ghost now.
Yeah, you die for like 3 seconds and then you're alive again somewhere else. It's really one of the coolest powers in the game that I think they got rid of.
No.
They didn't?
Did not get rid of it, no. Yeah, you can still totally warp for ghostly.
Good.
So, yeah. That's pretty much the circle. I'm trying to think if there's any other major races that I want to talk about. And I don't quite think so. Actually, you know what?
All right. Before we go any further, I do have an actual serious thing I want to add to this. Mm-hmm. Possibly the coolest character in the game, in my opinion, is a Circle Orbros Warcaster. Or Warlock. He's literally just a dead guy who's soulbound to a dead tree.
Yes.
That's it. That's his whole thing.
Oh, he's my favorite, too.
He's Cassius literally...
Yep. Wormwood.
He's just this guy who's... He's just sort of there, and this tree had to take a new host, and it was like, you, I'm going to evil dead your ass, literally. And he does. And the two are now inseparable, and they're basically just a horrible half-god of death. He's actually pretty cool.
He's super cool. The tree Wormwood is actually, he's a mainstay of the circle. He's one of the circle elders. They will literally consult the tree. If they can't make a decision, they will go, let us consult the tree.
And then they slaughter the tree, like, will literally just people. Pop up.
Yeah, they slaughter people to feed the tree. The tree eats blood or drinks blood. So they will have murder parties
around the tree. You say that other trees don't drink.
This one's just real thirsty.
This one's real thirsty.
And not in the me way.
Aw. Thirsty for trees.
every couple years it gets really tired of its current meat puppet. And it'll throw it to the ground. And it'll grab a new meat puppet. And that is considered the highest honor.
Yes.
By the circle. It's... You gotta want it. You gotta want it. You gotta work for it. You gotta have a murder party, and if you're lucky, it'll choose you as its meat puppet.
Yes. Like I said, it literally evil deads your ass.
Yeah.
So do they just like pull the tree around in like a radio flyer or something?
I wish.
That would be cool. It teleports.
Yeah. It does
ground magic bullshit. It travels through the magic ley lines, and it is where it wants to be.
It's a super powerful unit, and I love it. And it's the one thing that I really wanted to get for Circle before I kind of gave up on it.
In the new edition of the game for a while, he was the best. Literally the best. And he was... Tournament people were taking him everywhere.
Yeah.
And they nerfed him a little bit, but he's still super top tier.
All I know is they nerfed the Lord of the Feast a little bit.
They nerfed him a lot.
Yeah.
Lord of the Feast is cool. Oh, man. I want to talk about the Lord of the Feast.
He's also a death god.
Basically. The Lord of the Feast is also a death god.
There's a lot of those.
There are a lot of death gods.
Psychopomps everywhere.
An eternal spirit who shows up where there is battle, because he was cursed. He prayed to the Devourer Worm for strength, and as long as he wasn't hungry. And so he is crazy powerful and is always starving and just goes around the field just eating people and murdering them.
Yep.
And he's got deer antlers, and he kind of looks like a White Walker.
Which, by the way, those antlers are the worst thing ever to be modeled on a model.
They're so hard to
do. There is literally no good way to put them on.
Oh, yeah.
You have to find some way to attach them with green stuff, hopes, dreams, and super glue. There's no slot where they fit. There's no spot to make them work. It's bad. It's a bad model. It's badly put together. It's fragile. It's tiny. And I hate it.
Shout outs.
I'm done.
Shout outs to the member of the Nova Nomads community, Brendan, who is a wizard. And he managed to pin the antlers on for me. And I love you forever, Brendan. So, yeah. Moving right along, though. I also, you guys in your Golems episode, I was very, very sad that you did not mention Warjacks.
They're robots that are controlled by wizards, though.
They're robots that are controlled by wizards, and humans use them, which is why I kind of wanted to hold off on talking about them. But
they don't really have sentience or anything.
You think that, but they actually do. The best way to control a Steamjack or a Warjack, like they're called Steamjacks, but when you give them a Warhammer, they become Warjacks. That's really the only difference.
All right.
When they hold a gun, they're a war. Yeah, they're
sometimes not even that. Sometimes they've just got tickly claws.
But yeah. So Warjacks. And Steamjacks, they've become sort of a staple part of the society. One of my favorite pieces of art in all of Iron Kingdoms is there is a gobber, and he is sitting on a cart, and his cart is being pulled by a Steamjack that has no arms. And he's covered in rust, and he's super old and shitty, and he's just slowly walking along, and the gobber just does not care.
Because he's a gobber.
Yeah, and he's a gobber. And the Warjacks, like... The best way to control them is to have a wizard who can control them, which is called a Warcaster. But they're not entirely stupid. They have about dog-level intelligence. And this is thanks to magic brains called cortexes that they have.
A culture for a creature this does not make, though.
They're cool, though. I'm sorry. They're cool. And the really, really old ones will slowly develop personalities, and they'll get, like... personal sort of tics.
Okay, so next week we're going to be talking about my favorite fantasy race, dogs.
See, I've been pulling for us to cover my favorite fantasy race, chatbots.
Anyway, giant robot dogs. You're right, no, they do not have a culture. I will say that, but you guys covered golems and golems...
Hey, Transformers... clearly have a culture and are golems. We established this as a fact.
I think if Transformers can get it, I think Warjacks can get it. That's all I'm saying is they're cool. They act like dogs sometimes. There's one of them specifically named Rocinante that's really, really old, and he thinks every single one Warcaster in the family is his original Warcaster, and it's old, and he's old, and it's sad. And it's a good story, and he's a cool character. But yes.
Also Warforged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Warforged, I'm trying to wrap things up, but there are Warforged in Iron Kingdoms. They're clockwork people, and they worship the space god. They worship the space god of perfection.
What else would a space god be?
They're cool. They're clockwork people. They do clockwork people things. They take their souls out of their bodies and put them in robots, which is cool. But yeah, I think, are we running long?
We are an hour and 30, and I don't think any of this will edit down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no!
That's fine.
Okay. But yeah, other than that, that's pretty much the basics of the Iron Kingdoms. I hope I managed to convince at least some people, hopefully in this room, that this is a cool set.
I am surprised at how many non-humans there are.
There are a ton of I didn't even go over all of them, but there's a ton of non-humans in this setting, and they made a whole game, like half of the, not even just the war game, half of the tabletop game is about playing non-humans.
I do love a Pigman and a Gator Man.
Yeah, Pigman and Gator Man really are the highlights of the whole world for me, because I think they're really, really cool. And the Trollkins have so much going on.
Yeah.
They do. They do.
Like, they're the most unique trolls in pretty much any setting, in my opinion, but...
I can't argue that.
Yeah.
Better than World of Warcraft.
need more trolls.
Yeah
we do need more trolls.
I agree with that. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's pretty much Iron Kingdoms.
Yeah. Is there anything else we want to talk about, or we just want to wrap it up?
Probably good to wrap it up.
Okay.
Because that's rather a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is a lot, yeah.
So, Carl, where can people on the internet find you and assault you with questions about Iron Kingdoms and trolls and hairy boar people?
I am more likely to know more about hairy boar people than anything else. But my Twitter handle is @JudgeGrumble. That's one word, judge and then grumble. And I post a lot, or at least I think I post a lot. A lot of retweets.
A lot of cats.
Nothing wrong with retweeting cats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's me.
Okay.
Yeah. You can always find us at Creatura Cultura, creatureculture.tumblr.com. Our ask box is open. You can find me at Pagetish.
You can find me at Nolbard.
Just talk to us. We're going to, we've only got a couple months left.
Yeah. you still got time to yell at us, please. Yeah. But,
So what does it have to be an Iron Kingdom?
Well, I think if it was a Steel Kingdom, I don't think they've perfected that.
Well, I mean, that's going to be like the next edition, I guess.
Yes.
No, that's when someone else takes the IP from them.
This